Hey, Plus members, thanks so much for your support, and I hope you're enjoying the Plus Club. Did you know we have a Paranormal Plus Facebook group for people just like you? And if you're not a part of it, please go over to facebook.com/groups/paranormalplusgroup. That is facebook.com/groups/paranormalplusgroup. And there you can request entry, and we'll double check your credentials and let you in. We would love for you to be a part of it. Thanks so much, and here's the show.
Fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side.
Welcome to The Other Side. I am Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. And today we're going to talk about astrology, one of my favorite topics. I've always been fascinated by it. And there is a new book out, just out June 1st. It's called The Little Book of Saturn, Astrological Gifts, Challenges, and Returns. And we have the author, Aliza Einhorn, on the line. She's going to tell us all about it. Aliza is an astrologer, a tarot card reader, a poet, and playwright. She holds an MFA from the Iowa Writers' Workshop, and she blogs at her website, Moon Pluto Astrology, and does readings, both astrology and tarot together. That's interesting. We're going to talk to her about that. Professionally, she also teaches metaphysical classes online and runs chat rooms for the metaphysically minded. And I know if you're listening to this, you fall in that category. She's a former New Yorker, and she now resides in sunny Florida. You can visit her website at moonplutoastrology.com. We're so glad to have her with us. Aliza, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Jim. I'm so happy to be here. I'm excited. I'm
glad you're here, too, because I have to ask. I always like to ask this when people have an interesting profession like you do, a professional reader and so forth in both astrology and tarot. How did you, I know we could do a whole show on this, but give us kind of the Cliff's Notes version of how you got to this point.
Okay, you want the short version, right?
I would think so, yes.
Okay, so cut me off if I tend to ramble, because that could happen. But it was fortuitous. It was definitely an accident, because I'm not one of these people who will say to you, well, I was doing tarot or I was drawing cards when I was five. You know, I was not. I came to this late. Excuse me. I came to this in my 30s. And how it happened was I was living in New York, and by chance, if there's anything by chance, but by chance, I must have Googled astrology classes in New York City, and I found one. And that is the Cliff Notes version, because that class changed my life. And I started learning, and I couldn't get enough, and I got totally obsessed. I'm still obsessed, but it slowly became my profession over the years. And I never thought I would do it professionally, ever. I had no confidence. You know, I was just enjoying it. But a friend of mine, maybe it had been about 3 or 4 years that I was learning, and she said to me, you're going to do it. You're going to read charts. She was right.
And there you are. And I think it's fascinating. To me, one of the interesting things I read in your bio was this idea of combining the two. And that sounds, you know, I've talked to a lot of astrologers, and I've talked to quite a few tarot readers, but I don't recall speaking with anyone who blended the two. Can you talk about that a little bit?
You know, it's my favorite way to do a reading. I love it. I think they complement each other so well. And for me, the chart is an intuitive tool, is a psychic tool, just like the cards are. And you know what? If the chart can't answer the question, the cards can, or vice versa. It's just, it's one more thing, but I think these two work particularly well together. And I go back and forth, like literally in a reading. We'll switch between, okay, here's what the transits say. Here's what your planets are doing, but let's draw a card and let's zoom in and see if that guy is really going to text you back, because the cards are going to tell you that a lot easier.
Interesting. So the book, The Little Book of Saturn, what is the concept of the book?
It's all about Saturn. Everything you want to know but are afraid to ask. I mean, Saturn has this reputation. Saturn, and it's appropriate, I think, that Saturn has this fearsome reputation of being a difficult planet that brings us these tests and challenges in life. So this book is supposed to take the reader through that and give some good advice, give some guidance to take some of the sting out, but while still being practical, you know, not washing away the reality of it. And it goes through Saturn in the signs and Saturn in the houses, because everyone has their Saturn somewhere. Like, you know, I don't know anything about your chart, but you've got your Saturn somewhere in a house, in a sign, and that has a particular meaning for you. So the book takes you through that. And then what to do, how to proceed.
Now, does this presume a certain level of knowledge about astrology or some kind of, can someone who can just pick it up?
Someone can just pick it up. Well, you know what? That would be a good thing for readers to tell me, because it's supposed to be a beginner's book. And it was written that way. You know, this is, and I do explain the foundations, the basics of astrology in the first part of the book.
Right.
So yeah, it's supposed to be for someone who's not an astrologer or not, how do I put, now people who know astrology can get something out of it as well, but sure. it's written in plain English.
But it's not a prerequisite in any way.
No. And I explain it. I explain what Saturn is and what Saturn wants from us and what to do about it when it shows up.
Now, if you have somebody like me who, you know, most of my life I've probably kind of casually glanced at my horoscope in the newspaper when people read newspapers and those sort of things. I guess I'm aging myself a little bit there.
You know, I mentioned that in the book, actually.
But go ahead. Go on that thought.
No, as I say, I mentioned that in the book. I mentioned that at the very beginning, because that's where most of us of a certain age, right? Because I'm that age too, first discovered that we even had a horoscope or what sign we were was in the newspaper, the daily or weekly forecast, fortune.
And I remember people like Sidney Omar and people like that. But anyhow, I guess my point was going to be, and you kind of mentioned that there, most of us who have just a passing interest in astrology know our sun sign, but you make the point in the book that we are more than just our sun sign. What do you mean by that?
Yes, there's so much more. Well, we all have, just like I was saying, you have a Saturn somewhere. You have a moon, you have a Mercury, Venus, Mars, a bunch of other planets. They all matter and they all contribute to our personalities and our future and our present and our past, all of it. So we're always more than just, you know, that moment, oh, I'm a Pisces because I was born on this day. The fact that you were born on a particular day at a particular time creates an entire chart, all the planets being somewhere. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And yeah, so it's not just the sun.
So here's the question I have. Now, when I looked at my, again, I'm a Cancer.
Me too.
There you go. June 28th.
Yay, Team Cancer.
June 28th. But the thing is that I always thought, well, does that mean that everybody who is a Cancer is going to have, you know, let's say you're going to have a challenging day today, but if you persevere, you can make it through. Does that mean everybody who is a Cancer, or really is that just a general reading where there
That's
are a lot
general.
Of, yeah, there's a lot of gradations depending on when you were born, what time of day you were born, those kind of things, correct?
Yeah. You know, you have to take every general horoscope with a grain of salt, whether it's on YouTube, you know, like today, or whether it was in the newspaper years ago, you can't take it to heart too much. You should really think of it more as entertainment. And maybe once in a while, it will fit you perfectly.
Now, in chapter 2, you talk about planets in signs in houses. Explain that concept to those of us who are maybe not quite as well-versed.
Okay. Well, just like you have your sun in Cancer, someone else is going to have their sun in Scorpio, someone's going to have their sun in Aquarius. Well, all the planets are going to be in a particular sign. So that's the first thing that we notice, or one of the first things that an astrologer might notice when they look at your chart. But then the planet in the sign is in a particular part of the chart, which is divided into 12 pieces, like 12 pieces of the pot, 12 parts of the wheel. And that adds another layer of information. And it will adjust whatever that planet is. Like, let me give an example, because I feel like I'm not making sense. Let's say you have your sun in Cancer and it's in the 10th house. And the 10th house is very much has to do with career and being in the world, okay? Mm-hmm. Whereas Cancers, as you know, as the story goes, or as the stereotype goes, are very much home-oriented, very family-oriented. And they may not be as, oh my God, I got to go out there and make a big splash. I got to have a big career. They may not be as hard-driven or ambitious. Now, this is not 100% all the time, you know, but it's generalizing. But if you have your sensitive sun and sensitive Cancer in the 10th house, that's going to make you far more wanting to achieve and wanting a whole bunch of glory professionally than if it were perhaps somewhere else, like in the 4th house of the chart or the 7th house, because each house is going to have a different emphasis, different areas of life that it corresponds to.
And you talked earlier a little bit about the idea of Saturn and has this rough kind of reputation. But in the book, you talk about who is Saturn. Tell us maybe some of the things that really are attributable to Saturn and maybe where it is a misunderstood planet.
You know, anytime that you are confronted with someone who is older and wiser and more mature than you and has something to teach you, good, bad, or ugly, that's a Saturn experience. Like your parents, for example, or a teacher, or a policeman or woman. Someone who's got that authority. And a lot of the time, it is about age, that they are literally just older. But I mentioned in the book, sometimes it can be a younger person who has lessons to give you, or someone who seemingly doesn't have any power at all becomes your Saturn. So it's teachers, it's fathers, it's parents, authority figures, people that are going to help you grow in all the ways you need to.
So it's almost like tough love?
I was about to say it can be, and then I wanted to revise that. And I think, I think Saturn is always tough. You know, I tell people Saturn is not Venus. You know, Venus is love. And nice and, you know, makeup. That's not Saturn. Saturn wants us to grow up and do the right thing and be mature and responsible and get to work on time. All those structures of life correspond to Saturn. I was telling someone the other day that Saturn rules the bones of the body. Every planet rules certain body parts, sometimes more than one. Saturn is the bones. Structure. Without bones, we collapse. Without rules, we collapse. It's just pure chaos. That's also very much Saturn.
What role does Saturn play in the signs?
What do you mean?
In the book, you have a section called Saturn in the Signs. So where does that come into play?
I see what you mean. You know, because the sign that Saturn is in is going to change that Saturn. Saturn...
It's not an absolute, it's relative.
Yeah, well, I think Saturn is absolute in the sense that Saturn is always difficult and Saturn is always going to test us. Saturn is going to give us a challenge. But let's say, I mean, I don't know where your Saturn is, but let's say you have your Saturn in Pisces in your birth chart. Those are going to be very particular tests for you because that Saturn is in Pisces. And important to remember also that Saturn is limitation. And Saturn is fear. So there's going to be Pisces qualities that you're not going to want to go anywhere near, but which you need to master to become the you that you're supposed to be. That's a little bit tricky, but I want people to understand that where your Saturn is does not mean that you're in an abundance of that sign and you're really good at it. It's something you have to grow into. So if your Saturn's in Pisces, you're kind of a lousy Pisces. You know, early in life, and then the decades you get better, hopefully, as you get the different Saturn transits.
Now, what are kind of the results that we see when we put the power of Saturn and we take that into account and we follow that guidance? how can that help that us? And specifically, how have you seen it help people, whether it's other people or yourself?
Knowledge. Let me give you an example. I'm renting this house now, okay? It's way too big since I came to Florida, because I just moved a couple years ago. It's too big for me. I can't keep it clean. It's too expensive. It feels like a burden. That's really Saturn, you know, like, ugh. But let me tell you, I'm learning so much about houses and what it is to have a house and all the responsibilities that are entailed. I'm in Saturn school here in terms of where I live, like the actual structure, the bones of my life. And I was under a Saturn transit when I rented this place. That was exactly what happened. I saw it coming. I looked at my own chart. I saw it coming and I thought, am I supposed to rise to the occasion? Would that make Saturn happy? Or am I supposed to, you know, duck and do something less challenging? I think I was trying to outsmart Saturn, or at least be aligned with his energy and his purpose. And I'm still here because Saturn is commitment also. Saturn doesn't let you go until you've learned, you know, till you've wrenched every drop of the lesson out of it.
So is it almost like a necessary evil in a way?
Yeah, I think so. I do, because I don't, Saturn lessons are not fun. They're hard work. They're hard work. They take effort. They take patience. But you learn. You learn, and then, you know, I think this is true actually of every astrological transit, that you learn and then you move on. Like, it's just done. When the planet is done with whatever it's doing to you in your chart, then you're like, okay, next. what's the next karmic experience I need?
Now, is everybody equally subject to the power of Saturn just at different times? Or do some people, and I honestly don't know the answer to this, do somebody, people by virtue of when they're born and their birth chart and so forth, intersect more with Saturn? Or is it kind of play with everybody evenly?
I don't think it's even, no. I think depending on the chart, you might like Saturn better. You might be predisposed to Saturn's lessons. You might like hard work. You might like being totally driven. So no, I think it is different for sure, because each chart is different and each soul is different. And some, you know, some people love Saturn. And whenever I come across such people on social media or in real life, I always raise my eyebrows up. I'm like, are you kidding? Seriously? You like this? What? They're like, yes, I love hard work. I'm like, okay. So those people do exist. And, you know, in their own birth chart, their natal Saturn might be in very good condition, perhaps. You know, Saturn is well aspected, well placed, you know, gets along with the other planets. So tests, yes, but there's definitely degrees of pain and degrees of crisis and degrees of Saturn suffering for sure. I'm painting a very gloomy picture, aren't I?
But if you get the book and you follow the practices in the book, it sounds like you can learn to live with Saturn and also have maybe a kind of beneficial relationship with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually, I think the book is loving and sympathetic and friendly and not, oh my God, you know, there's humor in there to take some of the weight off. And again, that is the reputation, Saturn as a heavy weight. But, you know, think about growing pains, right? But here you are now. Look at everything you've achieved, and yet it hurts so much when you were 13 or 14. But you got older.
Well, I'll give you an example that happened to me later in life. I started podcasting in 2005, and sometimes the bad can turn into the good. And the only time in my, and I worked aside from having my own company the last, well, I've had the company 11 years, but I've been doing this full time 6 years this month. But I had worked on the side for a while. And back in, I would say 2007-ish, somewhere back in there, I'd had a job where I was a manager, and it just turned into a really bad situation where I had kind of this boss who was just extremely maniacal. And I'd always gotten very well along with my supervisors, and this was one who had been a big fan, and then all of a sudden kind of turned on me And I'll not go into that, but basically it ended up in the only time in my career I got fired. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm 30 something years old. I've got a family to take care of. You know, this is just horrible. This is the worst possible thing that could happen to me. And within a couple months, I had another job. And, you know, it was a struggle for a while. But then I got another better job. And that worked out okay. But the real benefit to that was, is that I decided at that time, at some point, I was going to try to figure out a way to steer my own ship and not to rely on somebody else. So that's what spurred me to really double back on my efforts in podcasting. And I was essentially for a few years there, basically working two jobs, my day job to support the family and trying to build this. And then lo and behold, the podcasting started becoming more and more successful to the point where I said, well, either I'm going to have to jump in with both feet and do this full time and see how it goes, or I'm going to have to let go because I, you know, I'm only one person. But that disappointment and that kind of trauma of being fired, because to me, I mean, you know, my parents, you know, nobody ever got fired unless they did something wrong. You know, that kind of feel. That was kind of the self-talk that I had. Well, what did I do wrong? And the truth was, looking back, I really did nothing wrong. this person was just had some kind of unrealistic expectation. But anyway, the point was, is that now if I saw that person, even though I probably still dislike them, in a way I would say thank you. Because without that, it's like the oyster and a pearl, right? You can't get that pearl unless you have that irritant. So
a
it sounds like
in disguise,
yes,
as they say.
So I would think that Saturn could serve that purpose to give you that grain of sand, that irritant, so you can make a pearl.
You know what? That's exactly how it works. That's a perfect example. Because they do say that Saturn will leave you a gift, give you a reward at the end of the transit. So, I mean, you definitely were under something, whether that was Saturn, whether that was Pluto, maybe it was a combination, everything you described, that's classic difficult transit. But the thing is that Saturn, in his infinite wisdom, is going to crush us before, like, you had to get fired. You had to go through that ordeal. You know, feeling victimized, probably, you know, feeling crappy. Oh my God, what's happening? I have to support my family. This is awful. You know, you had to be on the ground first. And then you got up. So that's also Saturn, is to get back up after being crushed.
Yeah, because I'm a big believer that it's not as much what happens to you as much as how you react to it. Now, if we're not talking about somebody getting ALS or something really, you know, health-wise, but in terms of life circumstances, I do believe the way you react to things many times determines the outcome more than the original happening, whatever, quote, happens to you, the way you react to it. Because there's so many stories out there of people who have had tragic life circumstances, maybe even people who have made a mistake and gone to prison and then came out and they've done great things. I think a lot of times, you know, we're limited by the thought that we can't break out of things, but we can if we just persevere, I think.
And that's, you know, the perseverance is Saturn, and that's also where all the other planets come in, because something like Jupiter is going to give us that hope or optimism, or even Neptune. Like when you're faced with something that seems impossible, but you think that you can somehow magically achieve it, that's a Neptune feeling. So all these planets are going to work together, you know, make us stronger, make us persevere, and then give us that little bit of hope that we can do it. I mean, I have a slightly similar story to you in that before I started this work, or actually before I was self-employed for the first time, I could not last in a job. It was impossible. For whatever reason, you know, whatever is particular to my personality or my chart, normal jobs just did not work for me ever. Working for someone else did not work for me ever. And I was totally crushed and totally on the ground and like 31. And what the hell am I going to do? You know, and then one thing led to another. And I started a different business back then in my 30s. And that set me free. Okay. But if I had been really good at working in an office or good at being normal in any way, I would not be doing this now. I would not be helping people now if I was a great paralegal. Because I tried that. I was really bad at it.
Right. Yeah, I think sometimes our deficiencies can be blessings in disguise, because it leads you to things that you're very good about. Now, I have to ask you this, and this is more of kind of a 20,000-foot question on astrology as opposed to specifically about Saturn. But I always wonder this. What is the mechanism behind astrology? Why does it work? Why do the planets and the stars and so forth, the heavenly bodies, why do they have an effect on our life? I mean, what's the mechanism? How do you think
it
works?
You know what? I don't know why it works. It's the same thing with the tarot. I don't know why it works. I just know that it does. I don't know. I just know that the first time I ever had my chart reading and someone told me about myself, it was me. They were describing me. They didn't know me. They were looking at my chart. So I can't answer that question. I just know that it is the most accurate system that I've come across for helping people and for knowing who someone is. But I don't know.
And I appreciate the honesty, because sometimes people will say, well, of course.
I have no clue. I don't do math. You know, like back in the day, you did a chart, you had to do the math. And even today, people learn that. But, you know, I use software. I'm not plugging anything in. I can't explain to you any astronomy, any science. I mean, to me, it's an interpretive art, and it's a spiritual practice, and it's a psychic tool. And then someone will ask me a question and I'll draw cards for them. And it'll be totally accurate. I can't explain it.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, I pick up my iPhone here and it works. I don't know every single mechanism behind it, but I know it works. So I guess that's what really counts.
Yeah.
Counts in the end.
I trust it. I trust it to have the answers. Call me crazy. I just do.
We love stories on these shows. Do you have a favorite story of someone who put the power of astrology, and you can add in tarot there as well, they put it in place in their life, they started paying attention, they started acting on some of the cosmic insights that they were getting and that made a difference in their life. Do you have a favorite story like that? It could be your own, it could be somebody else.
I can tell my own. That's the first one that leaps to mind is one of my own. Is when I decided to do this, I was reading an astrology book, a wonderful astrology book. I was feeling frustrated in my current work, even though it was my own work. And the book was talking about a particular aspect, a particular relationship between some planets. And then I realized, oh, that's in my chart. And the book had said, oh, if you've got, you know, such and such configuration, be an astrologer, go for it. And I thought, okay, I will. You know, I had been studying for a while, but reading just that little piece, that little bit of encouragement, that made me go for it. And it totally changed my life. And I trusted. I don't know why, but I did. Maybe because I loved this writer and already loved astrology by this point.
You had mentioned using tarot and astrology together. I'm just curious, you know, if I call Aliza and we set up an appointment to give me a reading, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What happens? Kind of take us through the process.
Okay. Well, not from the beginning, right? Like someone sends me an email. You mean right. once you've agreed,
yes.
You know, I want to know what a person prefers, because some people want just astrology. Some people want just the cards. Some people say, okay, do both or do whatever you feel is best. And I also always want to know how much astrology they know, because I need to know if I'm going to talk in English or talk in astrology or a combination. And I will have prepared in advance, not cards, but I will have prepared the chart in advance, whether they've given me questions ahead of time or not. I'll be looking at their transits, which is where the planets are now and how they are affecting them. You know, I'll have like this entire thing ready to tell them. And then we get on the phone, or we're typing back and forth on Messenger or something like that. And I'm going to ask them what they want to know, because I want to make sure that we're going to cover what's in their head and their heart. And the thing is people usually do, but they're not sure what it is. Sometimes you have to tease it out of them.
Interesting.
But that's some of it. And you know, I've really, I don't want to say built a career on it, but most of my people, most of my clients from all these years are, you know, I say this in a bio somewhere, you know, we're always writing these bios and descriptions or on the blog. I work with a lot with people who are going through stuff, mm-hmm. people who are going through their dark nights of the soul. Like that's my specialty.
Well, that's not when that people, but that's when people turn to psychics or astrologers or tarot readers.
But you know what? Some people just get the folks who want to chat. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure you do too. I've got friends in this business and they're like, yeah, I get people who just want to shoot the breeze. They just want a pal. They want to chat. Right. I don't get the chatters. I get people going through deep stuff and they want to know, okay, what are my options or what's going to happen or what do the cards say? What's my spiritual purpose? I know what you're saying though. Like that's the time that people reach out. And that has definitely been my experience, the dark night of the soul.
This might sound like an odd question, but do you think the universe wants us to use these tools?
Do you really want me to answer that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. That's why I asked the question.
Part of me feels like the universe doesn't care. I've okay. got trouble with the universe. I'm kind of pissed at the universe. I think the universe is a little on the neutral side.
And it may be. It may be.
And it's hard for me to conceptualize the universe. You know, like I have my particular spiritual practices. I believe in spirit guides. I believe in helping spirits. But universe seems so big to me, you know, universe, God, that I feel like I can't approach it. I can't fathom it. And it feels painfully neutral that they're just not invested. Whatever it is not invested in our little activities here. But you know what? You know who would be invested would be an ancestor of yours, mm-hmm. someone who's passed on or one of your angels.
Now, is that something that I'm assuming astrology you can't? You tell me if I'm wrong, but tarot you can use to tap into those ancestors, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, anytime with or without a tool, with or without a chart. I love those questions personally. I love past life questions. I love mediumship. So yeah, that wouldn't be so much. Well, here I'm looking at, you know, this particular transit and it means you're going to get a message from your Aunt Matilda or whoever. However, there are transits that could make you more susceptible to spiritual or metaphysical or paranormal experiences. Absolutely. So be more general. Like if you're having a 12th house transit, your dreams are going to be intense, maybe even nightmares, but you're going to be way tuned in because the 12th house, among other things, is associated with the collective unconscious. So you're going to be this massive antenna, just pulling everything in. And if you're already on a path, you know, if you're already doing stuff and you're already trying to tune in, then it's going to increase that much more. And that is something that astrologers can see pretty easily.
I like to ask this question of authors, and most of the time when I talk to people, and it's in many different topics, but they, coming into it, they knew a lot about the subject, 9 times out of 10. However, I always like to ask an author, did something you learn in the process of writing the book surprise you? Did you learn something you didn't expect?
Oh my God, I learned so much, Jim, from writing this book. Everything surprised me. I've never worked with a publisher. I've never worked, you know, this is all new to me. Although I've been a writer my whole life, I learned so much. One thing I learned is that I can write to deadline and I can finish it.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. I
mean, yeah, it's very practical. Writing a book is a practical, it's a very Saturnian experience. It's very practical. It's all about, it's about word count. It's about meeting deadlines. It's about business. Publishing is business, you know? And here I am, here I was like a poet. Okay, I'm going to write this book. You know, I'm going to poet and I use that as a verb. I'm going to be the poet and write my Saturn book. And, you know, I had to do this massive rewrite. Because I was too much the poet. So I had to go back and I had to revise. So I learned that too, that publishing is collaborative.
Interesting.
It's all kinds of things that I didn't know before, which are fascinating to me.
Well, it's been, this has been a great discussion. And the book is The Little Book of Saturn, Astrological Gifts, Challenges, and Returns. Aliza, where can people find the book? And also, please remind them where they can find more information about everything you do and how they can get in touch.
Okay. Well, they can definitely order the book online. So you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Barnes and Noble. You can even find it at Target. You know, like any place that you can, you know, you can get it through the mail, you can get it for sure. And in your regular bookstores, wherever they still exist, you know, the ones that actually stand there in the world. The book is there too. It's easily found. And it's on Kindle also.
That is now, very convenient. That's very convenient. And your website?
It's moonplutoastrology.com. I'm very easy to find. I'm all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that. I'm there. Usually under my name or under Moon Pluto NYC, because of all my years in New York, I still haven't changed that handle yet.
In a New York state of mind. Well, we're so glad to have had Aliza on the line. The book is The Little Book of Saturn, Astrological Gifts, Challenges, and Returns. And many happy returns to you, Aliza. Thank you for joining us today. And we thank you for tuning in to The Other Side. We will talk to you next time, and may the stars look upon you happily. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.